gentlemen, we're back. We are back. The Flex Zone is back to wreak havoc on your airwaves. This voice, it never changes. I'm your host, Mikel Ramos, and welcome to the Flex Zone, a place to get your sports how you want it, when you need it. Our home people, Fox Sports, 1340 AM. Usual suspects in the house tonight. Good to see you, fellas. Starting to my right.
What's good, everybody? This is Drizzy Dre, Mr. One and Only.
Crevonte here at Crevonte Heard, CREVONTEHURDE.
This is D for your boys on Instagram, DEMARUSD, all lowercase. Check the pictures out, folks.
Back in here at BKD underscore TV. Let's go.
All right, gonna have a little session here. Half of us here are Morgan State grads. The Morgan State University just had a homecoming. But before I ask you how homecoming was, how's your pockets first?
Tight as always.
Nah, that account negative.
You can't come to an HBCU homecoming back like you're going to have some money afterwards.
Listen, man, it was well worth it. It's always good seeing old faces. Homecoming, it's homecoming. It's a great time. Our great university is Morgan State. You already know. So it was always fun.
It's always beautiful. You can sit next to somebody that's 70 years old that went to Morgan way before I even knew what Morgan was. And it's cold during the game. And you want to share a blanket? It's family.
Huge right? Family, big family, man.
Oh, yeah, great time. You know, I was with my brother all weekend, so we had the old squad together.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful thing, beautiful thing, beautiful thing. Go like us on our Facebook page, The Flex Zone. Follow us and comment on Twitter and Instagram at The Flex Zone 1. If you have any questions, ideas, or possibly want to be a guest, send us an email to theflexzone1@gmail.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Byron D, hello.
What up?
Now, This is a family here at the Flex Zone. But, you know, we also always make room to bring some great people in here in this studio. This episode, we will be interviewing, in our first half, Rashawn Brave and Rashad Vance from Recreation and Parks. Then we conclude our show with interviewing Coach Bozeman and Blake Bozeman, his son, to preview Morgan State University basketball and the 2016-2017 NBA season. Without further ado, this first half, I say hello and give a warm Flex Zone welcome to Rashawn Brave and Rashad Vance from Recreation and Parks here in Baltimore.
Appreciate hello, you guys hello. So hey. Much for coming through, man.
How you doing? We're in the Flex Zone, right?
That's right.
We call,
you're in the zone.
Okay.
We call you come, right?
That's right. I had to.
In the power of a connection.
just make sure it's good with your peoples first. That's all. Oh, we
absolutely.
Need.
Right.
They gave us the green light. We might be good.
Everything has been identified, cleared, and they feel real comfortable. So I'm in here in the Flex Zone to answer any questions you may have about recreational parks or myself or how I even got to this point in my career. I'm excited to be here. I'm really excited to see this room full of young faces that are doing trailblazing as far as communication. So I'm excited.
Rashad, new to the mic, but come on, brother. Save your chest.
I'm
what's
excited.
Up?
I'm excited to be here. This is my first time on the radio.
We got a newbie.
A little fresh. No wrong with freshness. Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. Make you feel nice at home.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Don't worry about it. We're going to keep this real cool. Okay. As long as y'all don't get us on outside the lines, we could.
Okay.
Once you make it on outside the lines, it's a problem. First question, and then I'm going to let these guys, just going to you, Rashawn. We're going to let these guys get a crack at asking you and I some questions.
Okay.
Your position at Parks and Recreation, you know, all of us probably went to a recreation center at one point growing up, and we all know the importance of being able to go there and mm-hmm. having an outlet and finding something and having friends and maybe finding something you're good at that can propel your life. What's your title there, and how did you get into the system?
My title, I'm the division chief of youth and adult sports and special facilities, and that means I'm over all sports facilities that the city has stake in, as well as I'm over the sports programs, the citywide programs they affect, not just the rec centers, but the entire community can be a part of these programs.
Guys.
Shoot, man. Can we get a Flex Zone team league started or something?
Right. Now, what
we got the shirts.
They be good, baby.
Right. Yeah. You know, I want a Flex Zone shirt, too. I mean, you know.
Oh, man, that's nothing.
Yeah,
that's
you
nothing.
Know, can I get one so I can represent? But how did I get into the industry? I got into the industry. I went to Delaware State. University.
There you go,
Mr. Dixon. Okay. You know,
Hornet.
We around.
Okay, there you go, Hornet. Hornet is in the house. We but my undergrad was in sports management, and my master's degree was in sports administration. And one of the reasons that I got into the field of sports is because I saw so many people of color. There were participants in sports, but but not a lot of people that were behind the scenes or the executives behind these characters that were doing like phenomenal things on the court and on the field that we were all entertained by. But representation and people that helped them get to that point, that representation didn't quite look like the people that were actually playing. So I said to myself, I want to break barriers, and I wanted to get into the executive world of sports. So that's why I even got into the world of sports. I started off my first job out of college. I mean, some of y'all are probably experiencing this now. My first job out of college was with Boys and Girls Club, and I was an athletic director over Boys and Girls Clubs in Delaware, in a rural area called Delaware. One of the biggest issues there was that the kids needed sneakers. It's the craziest thing in the world, because I've been in multiple different cities doing this. But my first job, the biggest issue was the kids needed shoes, because what happened in rural areas that we're not familiar with in urban cities is that usually the oldest child passes the shoes down to the youngest child. So you have multiple sporting activities going on, and both kids of close age played. The biggest issue was, well, I'm the oldest, so I get the sneakers. So it was like a life-changing experience for me. It made shockwaves through my neural system to understand the concept of how recreation is so important, not just in urban communities, but in rural communities as well. And we did a shoe drive at that point where we raised money to get kids shoes so they could participate in recreation. So, and I mean, kid, and then you go into areas like Philadelphia and Wilmington, the biggest issue is that all the kids want matching sneakers. So you go from one extreme to the next. So that's how I got into it. I think that at this level, as far as the recreation level, it's kind of the most important part of getting kids introduced into sports so they can learn lifetime lessons. As you get further into high school and the colleges, it starts to become more about the program and less about the actual experience that the kids have. So that's why I wanted to be in the recreation level.
Well, what sports did you play growing up?
I played three sports: wrestle, football, and lacrosse.
I say a lot of people in this room are wrestling fans. So, are you still a wrestling fan?
No. Now, when I say wrestle, I'm talking like Olympic wrestling, like
yeah. The real wrestling. Gotcha.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of amateur wrestlers in the WWE.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
A lot of professional athletes. I love wrestling. I love the TV pro wrestling, but I was Olympic style. It was called folk style wrestling. That's what I did. And that's what I got a scholarship in to go to the Delaware State. But I was a big football fan and big lacrosse player. But I did a lot of non-traditional sports. You know, my grandparents, because I grew up in the area in Baltimore called North and Fulton. Some people call it RNG, the RNG area. Very crime-driven area, a lot of poverty. And my grandfather and my grandmother said that they didn't want us to go to the basketball court, because the basketball court was, I mean, it's crazy. Anything bad happened in the basketball court. So my uncles and always put us in non-traditional sports. It would be lacrosse, football, to get us experience to be able to get outside of our community. And I think it saved my life to this day, you know, that they introduced me to non-traditional sports that allowed me to escape our reality at the time.
Well, you know, we got a pool here at the Flex Zone. You know, we got these NFL picks. You a Ravens fan, my friend?
Absolutely.
Oh, man, your season's over. Yeah. Anyway.
Be respectful.
We're going to ding-dong, the witch is dead, baby. We're going to move forward. Rashad, you know, I know you thought I wasn't coming, brother, but, you know, you're going to hit that mic soon. Okay. So let us know about your work at Parks and Recreation. And little-known Birdie told me you also have another hobby as far as mixed martial arts. Tell us about that as well.
Yeah, well, my position at Recreation and Parks, I'm actually a sports coordinator. So I kind of help organize events, I help plan events. I'm also affiliate with the school system. I'm a phys ed teacher, I'm a wrestling coach, a basketball coach, and also I coach track. So I kind of like mix the school system together with Recreation and Parks. And so right now, I currently try to like help him build teams and help build sports programs and just help improve them a little bit. Mixed martial arts, that's a hobby I have. I grew up just watching like Black Belt Theater on Saturday morning, so I always, every time I watch television, I always wanted to be able to just kick in. Like, it's something just when you hit another person in the face, and that echo sound, and that head just jerk back like.
All right, Dragonfly Jones.
Yeah, I'm a nice guy, but I love mixed martial arts. I like to kick. I like to wrestle. And I like to do a little bit of jiu-jitsu.
He's an assassin, people.
I'm just happy he's on. I'm just happy he's on our team. That's all I'm going to say.
Right. He's an assassin.
Bushido Brown out here.
I ain't messing with you, brother.
Recreation in Parks was actually, I was writing a dissertation last year. I took a sabbatical from my regular teaching job. So when I left teaching, I taught some phys ed classes here over at Morgan. And Morgan,
awesome.
It just wasn't paying enough. And so my buddy Sean Brave said, look, why don't you come work for me?
Some would understand that.
And so when I started working at Recreation in Parks, I just start taking more opportunities. Every time an opportunity presented itself, I took it and ran with it.
I'm going to ask you another question. I'm going to leave it to the guys here. You're a teacher. So how much do you feel it's your duty to also connect getting an education, which some kids don't understand. They think basketball, football gets me out the hood, and that's all I need to worry about and be successful. What's the connection of bridging the gap between, yes, I need my education, I need it, and I can also be excelling in sport too?
The kid today, the problem is, kids are not taught how to think while they're in school. They don't have the critical thinking skills to bring together that if you get hurt on the sports field, that you're not going to sustain an income. So that's a big problem. I applaud Floyd Mayweather a lot. Even though the guy can't read, he understands how to think. He understands how to make money and how to sustain a substantial living. The average kid, they look on TV, they don't know how to balance a checkbook, they don't understand the budget. All these things are not taught in school. So what they see on television, they're not taught the skills of how to make money and how to grow wealth. So I really feel like sports, what it portrays on television, it does not portray how to be a successful athlete to the average child growing up.
I mean, there's Larry Fitzgerald, there's Richard Sherman that's trying to change this gap. Go ahead, fellas. You got any questions?
Well, I was just going to say it's definitely few and far between because, like you said, Sherman's a very intelligent brother. Larry Fitzgerald, another very intelligent brother, but it's not enough of them.
It's not.
To, you know what I'm saying, make an actual difference. I guess, what was the best part about teaching?
The best part about teaching is you can actually connect with the kids. You can build that relationship with them. When the kid sees you day in and day out, and they see me actually in a school system, and they see me in a rec center, and then sometimes they may see me driving a nice car. So they was like, well, all teachers, everybody that go to college is not going to be broke. Everybody that go to college is not going to, they're not a drug dealer. They can have helmet, they can have a small beard, but they're not, I help the streets. I would say it like this, to be honest with you, I'm helping putting positive programs in the streets. I'm helping kids think about, let's go to college, let's make some money. We're going to major in something to make money. So I kind of like, I can get in their head. I'm in a position where I can a little bit get in their head. I couldn't do that if I didn't work in the school and I didn't work for the rec centers.
I know that I struggle with that all the time because being a person who produce sports for youth, sometimes I struggle with the concept of I don't want kids to think that this is the only avenue that they have. And unfortunately, a lot of times media displays a lot of minorities in the field of just sports, music, or other things of that sort. And these things are great opportunities to be successful, but they're really long shots. So I try to connect educational piece, you know, or health piece with sports so they realize that's just the sports is just a carrot to get them involved, to get them interested. But there's a lot of lessons you can learn within sports that you can take into the professional world. You become a professional. You can learn discipline of getting to practice. You can learn team building. You can learn how to lead a team. You can learn how to deal with conflict resolution, which a lot of kids, they suffer from, not knowing how to deal with conflict resolution. You know how to deal with disappointment, and you know also how to evaluate yourself to be able to correct any kind of flaws that you may have for success. But a lot of times when we push sports alone to our kids, we're giving them long shot situations where the average football career is only 5 years. I mean, a lot of kids don't understand that. It could be the same thing with music and things. They're long shots. So we try, at least with Recreation Parks, to give them an educational piece along with the sports so they realize I have building blocks to be successful people like the people I see here today. All y'all have skill sets that's going to take you beyond just this moment, you know, where if the wrong mistake, the wrong hit, the wrong injury, and you're done. So if your master's degree was in how to catch and how to run fast. And once your body fails to do that, now you're left with a situation where you don't know how to be a successful person in a career. And one thing we always say, well, especially in school, they always said that the ego of the athlete, because they've been praised their whole life, and when the crowd starts roaring, you know, how do they go from that level of heightened experience to going into an office in a cubicle and having to do the same thing to become somebody great inside of a boardroom? And if you don't teach the lessons that come with the sports, a lot of times athletes or young athletes, they never get past that ego trip of when they were great in high school. We see it all the time. The guy that's in their 40s still with the high school championship jacket. You know, if you don't take the lessons that sports teach you and manifest those lessons into something that you can obtain through your adulthood, you know, and go back to those lessons, a lot of times it could be just as troublesome as any other thing that we have in our community.
Just because it's that instant gratification piece that they get with sports. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily get that with school, with going to work every day. Sometimes it can be a long-term gratification. And some of those things, kids, we live in a microwave society.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true. Questions for both of you first, Rashawn. Mm-hmm. You was talking about youth football, but how about youth lacrosse? I know you was talking about how you did different stuff. So what programs do recreation parks have that separate themselves from just football and basketball to other sports like soccer and lacrosse?
Well, right now we're doing a lot of partnerships with other community organizers to develop what's called the non-traditional sports. We know that the traditional sports that was called the Big Three is, like you said, is basketball,
football, baseball.
Those are the Big Three. But the non-traditional sports that kids can get opportunities to have scholarship, not only because they may be minorities, but also because, you know, those scholarships are there for them. And it's not a big pool of people trying to go after those few scholarships where they can become skilled at it. So a lot of things we do with the non-traditional sports is clinic-based. We do clinics for 6 to 8 weeks to introduce the kids into the sport, let's say like lacrosse, or let's say like our soccer program. And then from there, we do in-house leagues that develops their skills in-house, and then we do a traveling system where they actually get to travel and compete against other programs and other clubs. So a lot of that, when we deal with urban population and non-traditional sports, it starts off with a clinic, you know, teaching them the fundamentals of a sport they've probably never been experienced before. And then from there, we have in-house leagues where they can compete, and then we transition them into competition when they actually go out and compete against other programs.
Right, and for you, Rashad, you were talking about how everything is a microwave society nowadays, and everybody wants something instant. But how can people really get involved, you think, that can help? Maybe have a doctor come in and show them, hey, I started with sports, they gave me a lot of good aspects, but I want to become a doctor, and it bridged itself out, for example.
To be honest with you, you have to do it in your phys ed class or at the rec center. Currently, right now, I have a friend in Philly that he's helping me write grants so I can get sporting equipment for the schools. And with that sporting equipment, the more equipment I have, the more sports I can put my students on. I try to put them on a non-traditional. I put my students on a different sport every 2 weeks. They do drills 1 week, and the next week they're doing a sport. And I've actually brought Parks and Rec in to the school to do a basketball clinic last year. So just with some of those things, if I can get the kid, because a lot of them, it's just no exposure. If I can get them exposed to it and get them the skills and the drills, it's up most a lot of times, maybe if out of some kids is going to go for that sport.
This is individual right now of what you both bring to Parks and Recreation, but you didn't just walk in here and introduce yourself and shake hands. And this ain't the first meeting, so what's the history of your relationship? How did you guys become partners?
We have a long, long history, me and Rashad here. We both wrestled.
Rashad and Rashawn, what are the odds?
Right. And our names are so close that a lot of times people refer to me by my last name. We're in the same room. But we go back to high school. We went to Mergenthaler, Merville. Yeah. Okay, high fives around. High fives around. Right. You know, we went to Mervo. Another good friend of mine's Brandon Scott, Councilman Scott. You know, we always say, you know, we Mervo-like. You know, but we went to Mervo together, wrestled together in the same program. Wound up going to Delaware State at the same, not the same time. We went to Cotton at first, but then came over to Delaware State, which we both wrestled at, and we both went to graduate school. We both went to graduate school at Delaware State as well. And got our master's at Delaware State. And then one, I will tell you this now, if you ever escape this city or you go beyond this city, a lot of times you don't find a lot of Baltimoreans that are going out of state to go to school. I don't know how many people are actually locals here, but, you know, when we went to Delaware State, and Delaware is about 2 hours away, but it's probably about 8 Baltimore, like true Baltimore kids that went to Delaware State during our class times. And we were already friends. We got up there, but we became inseparable when we were up there because two Baltimore guys trying to figure out how to do it different than our communities to which we came from. So it was an instant, two brothers, you know, fighting the same battle of coming from inner cities, trying to become educated, especially got to grad school, because a lot of our projects in grad school was about revitalizing sports in Baltimore. So a lot of our projects,
we wound up doing them together.
So a lot of the ventures that we're taking on now were actually papers back when we were in graduate school.
That's how it happens.
Right. And then we wound up coming back to Baltimore. And I was in the Philadelphia and Wilmington area for some time, for about 8 years before I came back. But we wound up, you know, coming to the same organization and doing projects that we're doing now. But they start off as papers. Like most things in college, it starts off as a paper, an idea, and a dream, and then you manifest it into something. This reality.
Why I gotta write all these 8 pages? I ain't never gonna see this again. Yeah, okay.
Until you do. You better apply it. You better apply it. You know, I tell people that all the time. Like, you know, you wrote your manuscript in college. I mean, that's the one time where you get unlimited time to figure out what you're gonna do and who you are. You know, I think that's the biggest experience in college. It's not so much, I mean, the partying and the homecoming, that's the fun part. But I mean, for the first time in your life, you're still enough to figure out what do I want to do, how do I want to contribute to society. And these papers, these things, you should take these papers as like manuscripts, and you should put them towards your plan. You know, that's what I would give advice to anybody who was listening.
For both of y'all, I would say in today's world, it's a different kind of generation of kids. And working with kids, I think it takes a special kind of individual, so salute y'all for that. But how do you guys, I would say, reach the new kids of today? Because when I was coming up, we had the Chick Webs of the world and those different rec centers. But now kids want to hang outside in the corner, sit home, play video games.
Right.
They don't want to commit 8 hours of sports and homework. So how do you guys reach those kids?
Well, I think Rashad said it best. It's a microwave society. Recreation is not going nowhere. It's just that you got to identify the recreation is different now. So I think that one of the things that we do in my division is we made leagues shorter because kids' attention span is a lot shorter. But you think it's just the kids, it's the parents too, you know. We're in a two-income, definitely in a two-income society now where both parents, you know, they're working. And pretty much they're sharing the responsibility. They're trying to shift their kids to different practices. So what did? We went from, back in the day, like you said, with Chick Webb, leagues used to be 10 weeks. Now we make leagues 6 weeks, including championships, you know? So we made it shorter, so it's a shorter commitment so the parents can dedicate themselves to making sure the kids get out there and participate. And it's shorter for the kid, too. You know, the kid experiences, like you said, like the instant gratification, and then we shift them right into a new program. As far as technology, because we talked about technology, kids are real technical, we use a lot of software systems now that are able to track kids. So we're able to... from the moment a kid registers with a program, we're able to track and see what that kid likes doing on a consistent basis. And we kind of tailor our marketing campaigns towards what that kid likes and what's the most popular thing that they like to do. And we kind of keep the interest like that. So I think back in the day, back in my day, you know, people just throwing out balls and kids just playing with them. You know, now we use a lot of technology to be able to understand what the kid likes, what keeps their attention, what motivates them to try to keep that in the forefront as they move forward throughout their program.
And I actually, in a phys ed class, I incorporate a lot of tournaments in my class. Since I started working with Parks and Recs, I started trying to get large classes. The average teacher would complain about having a class of 70 kids. But with a class of 70 kids in 90 minutes, I'm going to have a tournament in that class. I'm going to put the bracket on the wall. And kids like to see stuff like if you have 64 people and you can see yourself at the top of the bracket or climbing up the ladder, that's like motivation to the kid.
Absolutely.
Sounds just like the NCAA tournament. That's what sounds to me.
We're running out of time, unfortunately, gentlemen. One word. What'd you learn in one word? And conclude and tell us how people can become involved and help these young women and young men.
Yes.
One word, what have you learned from him? And what word, what have you learned from him?
What word have we learned?
When one word, what have you learned from him from being around him so long? Okay. And what have you learned from him from being around him so long?
Dedication. I've seen Rashad go from, like I said, a kid from East Baltimore to now in a week. He's going to be a doctor. And I've actually seen the transition and the sacrifice.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I seen it.
In one word, quickly, what have you learned from him?
I've seen him be flexible.
There we go, okay.
Appropriate word.
Yeah.
Person who's dedicated needs somebody that can wiggle the way for him. How can people become involved, help these young women, help these young men? And we hope to have you back on soon.
Okay, well, like I said, if anybody wants interested in coaching or working with the youth, they could definitely reach out, call my office, 410-396-7019. Or they can email us at bcrpsports@baltimorecity.gov. And like I said, I try to be a phone call away from whoever answers that phone. You'll get to me by, you know, by hold. You'll be able to get to me. So that's how you can actually reach out and touch some of these kids' lives and be a positive role model. We talked about that in the past. You know, I think that being volunteers and showing them examples of what you could be besides what they see on a consistent basis is how you make that kid bridge the gap into adulthood and say, I could use this to do this.
Well, Rashad Vance and Rashawn Brave, thanks for being, to use your last name to the best of his ability, thanks for being so brave to be on the Flex Zone, baby.
Okay.
And we want that kickball team.
I'm trying to be a coach.
Okay.
I'm coaching.
Hey, man, everybody talk about they could play ball over here. I'm trying to get a league started, and we could just jump in with them. What's up?
Okay. Hey.
Well, we had kickball.
We can do a Flex Zone league, man.
We had, kickball for kick-ass calls on. Maybe y'all partner up. We can get this thing going on.
Okay. Yeah, kickball. I like it.
Anyways, from one family to another, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we got Morgan State Royalty coming back up, baby. It's a Flex Zone. Only place you get your sports how you want it, when you need it. We'll be back. I hope you, as our public, missed us, but we didn't give you a chance to miss us, because we're right back. Welcome to the Flex Zone again, the only place where you can get your sports how you want it, when you need it, on Fox Sports, 1340 AM. You know, this second segment is, you know, kids kind of close to home, you know. We had one family in here. We exchanged it for the other. This is like Morgan State University royalty in the building right now. Blake Bozeman. Changed the culture of, you know, the guard position here when you were playing for Morgan. And you showed everybody how to play with family. A lot of people thinking, you know, his coach is the dad. How is he going to play when his coach is the dad? And his father, Todd Bozeman, the moment he stepped on MSU campus, the moment he stepped into Hillfield, it should have been named after him. Because guess what? Before him, we ain't had nothing above 500 since 88, 89. I was born in 88. People check my age. So.
Big time.
Without further ado, I feel like I'm introducing a show here. The Bozemans, and y'all should be coming out like this. He should have on a sweater or something. But anyways, Coach Todd Bozeman, Blake Bozeman, you're not a stranger to the Flex Zone, but welcome to the Flex Zone, Dad.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having us here. I appreciate it.
He just as relaxed as ever. You see that? Like he been here before.
Right on the bench. Right on the bench, Coach.
I started doing sideline from Morgan State. That was my first gig, WAA. Lamont Germany, the voice of HBCU sports and the voice of Morgan State. And they used to say, go get an interview from Todd. Go get an interview. I'd be like, you sure? He don't look like he want to talk to me. And he would give me 2 seconds, and I would feel accomplished. Anyways, welcome, family.
Thank you.
All right, first thing on our bracket, first thing we got to talk about, we got to take care of home first. We got to take care of business. We got to take care of this campus. Coach, the atmosphere here at Morgan, the season coming up, what are we expecting? And can we get in the dance again and be smiling and laughing here at Morgan State?
Well, let me say that the objective is always to try to get to the dance. I think everybody starts the season out that way. It becomes a battle of wills, and can you will your philosophy and your team's objectives? Can you will that over your opponent? And I would say that the last 2 years have been challenging for us. But I think that, you know, this year's team, I'm excited about it. I don't do predictions. I think that we have the size that we've had in the past in our championship teams. We just don't have the experience. So, but we're looking for these guys to really grow and develop. And we've done some things this year that I think will help us escalate that path. It's I would say that we're going to be looking for tremendous leadership from our point guard Martez Cameron if we had to start today, but the main two guys would be Taiwan Kennedy, who sat out last year as a transfer from Lamar Community College in Colorado, but he originally started at Eleanor Roosevelt in Prince George's County. And then Philip Carr, who's from Brooklyn. He says Brooklyn's a state, so I can't say Brooklyn, New York, because if he hears this, he'll say...
Every New Yorker just believe New York's the only place in the United States.
Yeah, well, he says Brooklyn is a state itself. He says, Bose, you know how they say Brooklyn, USA. So Phil Carr's from Brooklyn. Phil's 6'9", and Taiwan is about 6'4", 6'5", and Taiwan will play the guard or play the wing. He could play some two, some three. But he can really get to the free throw line. He can shoot the ball. Phil can shoot the ball at 6'9", and he's developing his game. Phil came to us from Winningston Community College out in Wyoming, but as I said, he's originally from Brooklyn. Phil has 2 more years, and Taiwan has 2 years. So those guys, we'll be looking for big things from them. We have a young man, Alex Ennis, who will probably start at in the post for us at the five, and he's from Independence Junior College, but originally from Jamaica, but he grew up in. He also spent his high school years in New Jersey. In Neptune. So those guys will probably be the core. But it's a good group. They like each other. They have fun. They stay together. We brought the Navy SEALs in to work with them for some team building in September for 3 days. They took us in the pool. We were on the football field. They actually got it through Homeland Security where we could go into the harbor. So we went down into the harbor, and they had to do a exercise in the water from Federal Hill to the Cheesecake Factory and back. So it was interesting. It's something that a lot of teams are doing now. I actually got the recommendation from Shaka Smart, who's now at Texas, but he started doing that at VCU. So it's been interesting, and I think that the team is coming together. So we had a young man on campus. We had a recruit on campus. I can't say his name, but he was on campus this weekend. And as you know, homecoming is a blast. And I thought he had a great time. So hopefully we can tie that down, and he will add to the depth of the program.
I'm gonna ask you one more, and then I'm gonna send you to these guys so they can get a crack at asking you some questions. You said cheesecake. I thought you'd want to say Puff Daddy gave you the recommendation. Anywho.
I didn't say Ciroc now. Ciroc.
Yeah, you ain't said you went all the way to, you got a Brooklyn guy. You went all the way from Brooklyn to get that cheesecake. Anyways, I grew up in the area you talk about at Morgan State, my tenure here, where you got Ian Childs and guys like Amir Ali and guys like, go back to Reggie. I saw him at homecoming, and you've had a lot of guys that, and I also saw,
Justin Black.
Yes, I saw him in a suit. I was like, dang, I didn't even know you was this tall, Justin. Anyways, you got these guys that kind of sort of, and Blake, got these guys that kind of took on that leadership role, and those guys that just understood what it was to put on that jersey. Is it going to take this some time? And who do you see being that leader this year for your team?
Well, I would think Taiwan, but I couldn't talk about us building a program without shouting out a guy like Ron Timmis, who was here when I got here. Joe McClain was here when I got here. And those guys, along with Jarrell Green, who is a Baltimorean. And Jarrell, we call him the General. And he was the first point guard I had. And he had a tough first year. But the second year, he ran the show. And he's the one who really started it. He was the catalyst behind getting it going. And then Jamar Smith was in that group. Clearly, Reggie's the first freshman that I recruited. Jamar and Jarrell were both junior college transfers. And then Marquise Catley, Boubacar Coley, you know, those guys were significant contributors to us starting what they started calling us the Baltimore Bullies.
Kevin Thompson, can't forget
Kevin Thompson. But those guys came after. Kevin came after those guys. Itchy came in that group. Troy Smith, who's from Baltimore as well. So those guys kind of got it started. Rodney Stokes, who became the all-time winningest player at Morgan because he came here as a freshman, and he was here through those times when we went to the championship game. So those guys really got it started. But I would look for, you know, Taiwan Martez, we call him Tez, Martez, and Phil Carr. We have another guy, Tyler Streeter, who's from Chicago. He's a sophomore. I look for Tyler to be big in politics one day. He could be the mayor of Chicago. He's that kind of leader. So you might not see him show leadership in terms of the numbers that he puts up, but you will see him in terms of leadership and doing the right things, saying the right things, being a great teammate, being a leader, being outspoken. He's on the SAC committee along with Antonio Gillespie, who's from Memphis. So, you know, it's really about the total growth of the guys, but that's one of the things that I like to continue to focus on. But those guys, the guys that I mentioned before, those guys were kind of like the catalyst. And we have a mural that one of the former softball players is painting on the wall in the locker room, and it's really, really good. Dwayne Jackson was in that group. But that's kind of our way of paying homage to them. But in the same token, it's hard because each team is different and each season is different. So you try to get each group to assume their own, to try to create their own legacy. Because what happens is that if you just rest on the shoulders, so to speak, of the guys that came before you, that time frame passes where you don't appreciate what they had to go through and what they did. Like we have a brand new locker room that's updated. The guys have two practice jerseys. That might not sound like a lot to you, but it is. But trust me, it is. They have all kind of T-shirts, sweatsuits. They've had four pairs of sneakers already.
Yeah, they got it all, man.
Yeah, I mean.
We got
heart monitors that they wear during practice, and it projects up on the wall in the gym, so we could keep track of their heart rates. And that's good and bad. It's good that we can keep track of it, but it's bad for them because we could tell when a guy's not working hard enough. So I'm just saying all of that to say that the program has really come a long way, and sometimes they don't always appreciate it. So that's the challenge, because I always tell each team, I say, hey, you know, we have banners up on the wall, but you want to create your own banner. Yes, you wanted to come here because we were able to establish some things, but you want to create your own banner. You want to create your own legacy, and that's the challenge that each team has to work to accept. And they have to create their own identity. So, as I said, they used to call us the Baltimore Bullies. I don't know if we've been as tough lately in the league in terms of in that regard. But we have slowly become almost everybody's rival because we've played six different teams in the championship. And so people look at us because for a certain time frame, we've been the dominant program in the league. So that's kind of. I don't know if I really answered your question.
You did.
Okay.
I'm good. And y'all?
You came here around 2006?
Yes, 2006. So March of 2006.
It had been quite some time since you've been coaching before 2006. Mm-hmm. What was the hardest part of getting back into the swing of things of actually being the head coach?
One of the things that I really missed when I sat out was I worked in the NBA and I went with the MBDL, which is the D League. They had an ambassadors group before they actually started that league. And we took a team of all-stars over to South America. We were in Argentina, and then we were in Rio for about 6 weeks. And we were traveling around playing these games. Tiny Archibald was the head coach. I was the assistant. But when I was out of the college game, I missed the interaction with the players. And I missed being a consistent contributor to their growth and their growth as men. And it just so happens that Morgan is black men. I haven't coached a I did coach a white player before, but at Morgan. But it's really just their growth and trying to prepare them for life outside of basketball or even life in basketball overseas. And the biggest challenge was probably the social media, because it wasn't existent. When it wasn't present, rather, when I was at Cal, and even when I got to the NBA, it was just kind of starting. And so that was a challenge, and it also was a challenge not having all the resources that you typically have at a major university. But I accept it as a challenge. I'm kind of one of those people that, you know, I accept where I am, and it just is what it is, and you try to make it better, while you're doing that, you create better opportunities for others, and sometimes that might be your path, and it might be what God has designed for you. But that was a challenge. It was a challenge sometimes with I did an interview once with the Morgan magazine. And he asked me, the reporter asked me, said, well, what's the difference between being here and being at Cal? And I said, well, being at Cal is like being at a large corporation. And he said, and as I was going to explaining what Morgan is like, he said, it's kind of like a small business. I said, no, it's kind of like mom and pop, because, you know, you're trying to run things in-house and you have to kind of, you know, you got to think out the box. You got to get creative. And, you know, it's kind of like what you guys are doing with your show. You're being creative. And, you know, hopefully, you know, one day the show will be, you know, world renowned. And you know, you guys will have, you know, NBA coaches coming in here and NBA players and alike. But you got to start somewhere. But you also got to think out the box. So you guys got to get creative. You got to try to find ways to make it appealing. And that was the challenge for me, and it also was a challenge for me to come into, like I said, it was a smaller program, and I used to pay programs like this to come and play me at Cal. So now I am that program. So those were some of the challenges, but that social media thing was huge, and, you know, not to, you know, dwell on something negative, but that's where that whole sandwich thing came from. Like my first year, it was actually my second year, and we went down to Longwood and played, and it just kind of blew up. And after that, I was like, wow, that thing is kind of got going fast. Like, you used to, things could happen, and it wouldn't take on a life of its own. Before that, you could kind of keep it in its own little, you could keep it in its own box or in a region, so to speak. But that thing went like national, and I was like, wow, that was something different, and that stood out to me. So that was a challenge, trying to keep things kind of in-house and realizing that there were a lot more people that had access to things that you normally wouldn't have.
Before we get into the Golden State Invitational in the NBA, Coach Mike, quick, just talk about the MEAC. We know Norfolk State years past, they had the big one against Missouri, Coppin State against South Carolina. We know the MEAC is tough, and I expect you to be there in March. But talk about maybe Hampton. What the teams you got to probably battle against when conference play starts?
Well, first of all, I expect us to be there in March as well. But I would say that the MEAC, and we don't get the credit that we deserve.
I agree with that.
And we're always battling that, and we battle that in recruiting. We battle that with our commissioner, with all due respect. But the conference is kind of like a football league, and, you know, whether you agree with that or not, football kind of runs college athletics because of so much money that's generated. I don't know if you could really say that about our level, because our level doesn't generate that kind of funds. But in college basketball, at our level, you can go to the tournament and you can bring in a lot of money and revenue just by getting into the field of 64 or 65, whichever way you want to call it. But I think that when if I go into looking at our competitors in the MEAC, I think that, you know, we have to say everybody, because you have to be careful how you position things to young people because they kind of take things the wrong way. But, you know, to start the season out, Howard's probably going to be ranked number one because they have everybody coming back and they have the player of the year coming back. And he was the leading scorer in the league. I don't know if you can look back and say that a team was preseason ranked and they really won it, but they'll be picked to win the league. South Carolina State will be up there. They have two outstanding guards. One guard is really, really good, Eves, that was a junior last year, junior college transfer. Hampton always finds a way to put themselves up there. They had two fifth-year seniors last year, though, so it'll be interesting to see how they replace them. Central, with the coach Lavelle Moten, always does a good job. FAMU is trying to make some waves. Bethune, the same way. I mean, they finished up at the top, in the top half of the league last year. So, you know, as you can see, I'm kind of mentioning all of the schools.
Right. And it's tough. It's a tough league.
But you don't want to overlook anybody. You don't want to, just like they don't really know what we have, to be honest with you. So
yeah, because it's interesting you say that. One year, I think the Hampton was the eighth, we were the ninth, or something like that, and we both were in the championship.
Right.
So you can't underestimate the MEAC championship, period.
Yeah, and in one year we won the regular season, and Coppin was the last place team, but they got in there and they beat us in the championship at the buzzer. But they had Taiwan McKee, who was an outstanding player. So it varies, and then you can win the regular season and not win the championship.
That's true.
Okay. And then oftentimes if you see our league get a bid that's like a 16 seed, it's typically because of that. If you win the league and then you win the tournament, those teams have gotten 15 seeds.
Or even 14 seeds, right?
You know, the year that Norfolk won, they won the regular season and they won the tournament. So that's why they were able to get a better seed. It's not a great seed.
Yeah,
but
15.
Yeah, it's a better seed.
We're going to transition. But question for you, but I want you to hold on and think about it and tell me the answer at the end. We talked about the negativity that sometimes surrounds Todd Bowling, but we know you personally. There's a husband. There's a grandfather. There's a father. And some people often see you involved in the game. You're gonna call it wrong, call it right, figure it out. What's the misconception of Todd Bowling? But we're gonna get the answer to that in a minute. I remember that song, "Here I Go." Remember we're gonna start the show and everything. I remember that. Anyways, Blake, brother.
Hello,
brother
hello.
Blake, I feel like I should bow and all that extra good stuff. You're tenure here at Morgan, student athlete, and I told you last time I didn't want you to be the student athlete answer to all our collegiate questions.
Mm-hmm.
But first on the docket, and then we get into some NBA talk, what do you see of the progression of the students here at Morgan under your father, and what have you learned under your father that you want to show the students? I'm pretty sure you talk to them and come here a couple times and enjoy their company and learn from them too and get to see all this newness going on. What do you bring to the table as far as Morgan Athletics?
Man, I mean, the time goes by so fast. I remember my first day, you know, coming on campus as a freshman and getting into the swing of things, you know, just conforming to, you know, the college schedule and the difficult regimen as a student athlete. And then, you know, it just zooms by so fast from losing two championship, you know, games consecutively back-to-back years. And then, you know, I mean, that was heartbreaking each time. Probably, you know, just as you know, equally heartbreaking for each loss. And then after that, it was my senior year. And then, you know, next thing I know, that's the last game, you know, of my collegiate career. So, I mean, I'm not ashamed to say that's three trips, you know, to a MEAC tournament that ended in heartbreak.
Sour taste, wasn't it?
So, but I mean, it goes by so fast, and I would just stress to just cherish, you know, the time that you get, you know, to grow as a team and to compete. I mean, I'm at least, you know, fortunate to have been able to play in two championship games, and then, you know, to just cherish that time because it goes by that fast. I mean, even guys that came after me, like, you know, Dante Pretlow, I remember, you know, him coming in as a freshman, and now he's, you know, a year removed. You know, his time went by just like that. Or guys, you know, you mentioned Amir Ali, guys like Dwayne Jackson and Kevin, you know, they were here when I was a freshman, and then, you know, it just goes by so fast. So, you know, that's what I would just stress to, you know, the guys now, if, you know, if I could talk to, you know, the team, you know, this year's team, that's what I would just tell them, to take advantage, you know, of every opportunity because, it goes like that, and then, you know, next thing you know, you're no longer worried about practice, but you're worried about, you know, what your income is going to be and how you, you know, are sustaining a living.
You're doing pretty good for yourself, though. I saw you at a basketball conference weekend recently or something like that.
I'm doing
and your
okay.
Your son is
I'm
so
trying
adorable,
trying
people.
To do some
oh
things.
My gosh.
Thank you. Thank you. So yeah, I mean, I'm coaching now. I coach with the DC Blue Devils. I was coaching the 15 and under team, which is on the Under Armour circuit. So I pretty much transitioned, you know, ironically, I transitioned right into coaching, you know, as soon as I was done playing.
Bloodlines, brother.
It's in my blood. It's no getting away from it. So I started coaching at Duval High School on Good Luck Road in Atlanta, Maryland. So that's the PG4A. And I, the coach over there, my guy, Coach Ulysses Lee, he brought me over pretty much right after our season ended. You know, my senior season, and that was a fulfilling experience. I wasn't sure whether I was going to get into the coaching, but I definitely enjoyed it. You know, just having that proximity with the players, and just because our age difference is so minimal, you know, I can remember, you know, like it was, you know, last week, you know, being that age and being in high school and playing and not realizing again how fast it goes by. But it was a lot of fun to be able to coach those guys and also, you know, be young enough to get out there and play with them and teach them things. And, you know, it kind of helps when I can tell them something and coach them something, but also show them. You know, a lot of times people learn better by seeing than just hearing. So, you know, all of that stuff has been fun. This year I'll be at St. Mary's in Annapolis. So I'll be, you know, in that Catholic League. And that is, I'm not sure which archdiocese that is, but I know we play some Baltimore County teams. And so that'll be interesting, just seeing that, you know, the difference in dynamic from going from, you know, the PG4A to the Baltimore Catholic League.
I hope he wasn't that. I walked 5 miles when I was in my gym shorts.
No. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
So, Blake, you said you're into coaching now. What things have you taken from your dad and applied it to – to your coaching?
Well, I've definitely taken some drills. I've taken some drills, and I've taken some schematics. I guess it's been interesting because even though, you know, I was here playing for my dad for 4 years, I mean, I've always been living in a house with a coach, with a guy who's, you know, been on the NBA level and who's been, you know, at the highest of the high major in the D1 level. So, you know, I can, you know, even reach back to, you know, me watching games, watching NBA games or college games with my dad in the house, you know, when I was in either middle school or high school. And, you know, even from him, you know, just he notices everything in a game. You know, he'll pause a game when I remember when TiVo first came out before we had the DVR and everything. And he'll pause a game, you know, and say, oh, did you see that? And he'll, you know, it'll be something that anybody else in the room wouldn't even notice. But, you know, he would notice, or he'd be, you know, he'd have his notepad out. And he can watch a game and write down a play, draw up a play that he, you know, that Greg Popovich just ran with the Spurs without pausing the TV. So it's just, you know, just being around that on a consistent basis. I mean, there's so much that I can reach back into, you know, now that I'm a coach and I'm teaching guys. I mean, I find myself noticing things, you know, on the floor in the middle of practice that my dad would notice. So that, you know, there are things that I liked more than others, and I just, you know, pick and choose. You know, which methods, you know, that I've gained from him that I deem are most effective.
The show is over, people. We want to thank True Sound for our theme song. Don't forget to like us on Facebook page, The Flex Zone. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Flex Zone 1. If you've had any questions, ideas, or possibly want to be a guest, send us an email to theflexzone1@gmail.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Flex Zone. Listen to the weekend edition of The Flex Zone, which can be heard on SoundCloud and iTunes. Shout out to Chanel and Tristan. We still got to get that first take thing going. We're going to get that, baby. Also, catch us on the Arena Sports Net Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Tonight's show is executively produced by Andre Melton. Our senior producer is Crevante Hurd. Our associate producer is Byron Dixon. Our host is me. We did not forget about them picks, them NFL picks. I hope I'm still in the lead, fellas. In Between the Zone, we got it right for you. We want to thank our production team, Sophia, Brian, Dwayne Allen. He's in the back. Hugh Scott, I see you playing. Brian the H. DeWaters, Tyron Rice, our engineer in the back, our interns, Claudette, and we can't forget about D. Thank you all for listening. And I'm going to say it like I said every week. I don't care if it rhymes. It's mine. I'm going to care like Kevin McKellar in the show. Byron, what are we?
Gone.
For now. Pause for the
call. Peace. We'll be right back.
If you enjoy part one of the Flex Zone's interview with Morgan State University basketball coach Todd Bozeman and his son Blake, then you'll enjoy part two next week. 7 p.m. it all goes down on Fox Sports 1340 AM Hopewell.